All right, guys, we're at episode 4. Welcome back. We're cruising. So today I have my wifey, Kristen. Literally my BFF for Elle, so you guys are in for a treat. So I brought Kristen on for a couple reasons. One, because I love her face, and it got her to hang out with
me. Which they won't see.
Yeah. It's okay. They can imagine. I'll paint them a picture. I'll put a picture in the podcast description.
There we go.
And she's also a health coach. We were fitness leaders in our last job. And since we're talking about stress today and stress management, I brought her because she is my perfect Taurus counterpart. I'm a Pisces and she's a Taurus.
It's like the best partnership.
I know. Yeah. And we're the exact opposite. So, funnily enough, I can tell you science about stress and anxiety, but I don't experience them. So you can punch me later. I know. So I'm too relaxed. So Kristen has much better experience in actually being able to manage these things and manage stress and try to stay sane, right?
Totally.
So Chris, why don't you start telling us a little bit about, why don't you tell us about some of the negative effects that you've seen when you didn't have these tools in place or when they don't work? What are the things that happen in your life when stress gets out of control?
Well, I think there's like different levels to stress and how it affects you and how it like impacts your life and your psyche and everything that is you. So like on the lower level of things, you're just kind of a little overwhelmed or maybe like scatterbrained, I think is one of the things. Like little things you just forget that you're like, oh, I didn't write that down, or oh shoot, I misplaced that. But when it starts to like pile up, I definitely like personally notice a sense of like feeling overwhelmed and just feeling like I'm unprepared for things.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if you let your mind wander into that dark hole, that's a really good way to start feeling like you're inadequate and you're not enough. And then that I know that I definitely have like had periods of time that I suffer from anxiety and that is always triggered from stress for me. So like I've had panic attacks before that are all triggered from like me forgetting about events.
That's why you're here. So like, tell me what that is.
So like I'm saying this, I'm remembering one time I like forgot that I had jury duty because I was just so overwhelmed with like teaching a million classes and having all these sessions to do, and like I just wasn't on my A game, and I like showed up late at jury duty, and they ran me around the city, and I thought I was gonna go to jail and get a fine, and I just was sitting like in the courthouse in Canal Street, just like sobbing.
Like, I'm not fit for this. Can I go home?
Right. They were like, get out.
Yeah. And you're like, fine.
Right. Like the security guard came over to me and was like, ma'am, are you okay?
You're like, no, please, can I go home?
Right. So like that to me seems like one of the highest levels of stress, where your body is having that reaction, like the chest is tightening, you can't breathe, you have tears, that kind of thing. But there's lots of like lower levels of stress below that,
which too. I can relate to.
Yeah. So it doesn't always have to be that. And like you're going to talk about the science of it, but like you notice it like in your GI system, if you're not, you know, if you're losing your appetite, or if you're like not having healthy bowel movements, that kind of stuff. Like, I will like break out if I'm super stressed and just all of that.
Eye bags.
Yes.
So cute.
Looking real good. Like, no amount of makeup can hide the fact that you're freaking out.
Right, right. And I think it's funny, too, because, you know, I sit here, guys, do not be jealous that I don't have anxiety attacks, because it's honestly, like, maybe I don't have, like, physical, like, anguish, but I'm just lazy. So I just don't get anything done, because I don't have any fire under my ass ever. And then I don't get anything done, and then I get stressed about not getting things done. So we can talk about both sides. We're the perfect pair.
Yin and yang.
Exactly. We love each other so much.
But I feel like it also doesn't have to be like an anxiety attack too, right? Like, just because you don't have this, like, you could take a medication for it type of stress doesn't mean that you're not stressed.
Right, and right. And that's why I think people tend to like, I mean, I didn't realize at first, like, people lump that word stress into like one big thing, and there's so many different parts. And I think when you call it stress, like, it's almost like misdiagnosing an illness, and then you give it the wrong treatment. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sorry, guys. I didn't know that anxiety was different than stress until, like, a month ago when I wrote an article about it. But that's, like, important, and a lot of people maybe don't. And I think a lot of people, too, overuse that word.
True.
Because, like, anxiousness, that's what I thought it was. Because anxiety, anxiousness, like, but it's
I am feeling anxious is different from I have anxiety.
Right.
So, and that is, like, really good to define those things, because anxiety is something mm-hmm. that you can and should seek help and open
it's like
your
more,
mind.
It's more physical, I'm assuming.
Yeah, there are real, like, physical adaptations to, like, how the body reacts to that. And it's right. that, like, physiological response. So mm-hmm. you're going into fight or flight, and you're not yeah. thinking rationally. Like, right. you could look at what's happening in the body mm-hmm. there.
And that's when you get a lot of that. I mean, so many people don't realize how high their cortisol levels are, and that leads to so much, like, weight gain and just so many health problems. I mean, I'm not even going to get into it because it's a whole other podcast. Cortisol is its own beast. But, you know, kind of the theme that has been coming out in all of these podcasts kind of just incidentally is the fact that self-awareness is the first step in any of these health issues, any health and wellness, anything that you're experiencing in your life. It's your life. Right? Like, hence the fucking name. So if you don't know what's going on, and if you know, most of my clients, I'm sure you can relate to with your clients, they just don't have ownership over their body, their choices, their thoughts, their emotions. They don't have control, and lack of control creates anxiety too. So mm-hmm. bringing awareness to that, you know, when you're feeling that stress or being overwhelmed, that first step is kind of just diagnosing for yourself, is this stress? Am I overwhelmed? Am I just, you know, too tired? Like, am I just physically being spread too thin? Am I mentally being spread too thin? Emotionally? Is it anxiety? Is it stress? Yeah, right? Are you getting the, like, empathetic feelings?
I am, yeah.
Yeah. So let's kind of break down, like, the different types so that people can kind of identify, and then we can talk about, like, because I don't like to just, like, hash about it. Like, you know, yesterday I was talking about, we're talking about positive attitude. And it's, like, a great example because we hear these cliches all the time. And I'm 29, by the way, and I'm still figuring out stupid things like, you know, you win some, you lose some. And I'm like, that's what that meant. But we hear these things all the time, like, positive, you know, think positive. And it's like, okay, great. Or this is my favorite. Be confident. Do you have a magic potion, sir? Like, that's not just
give
like...
give me that pill, please.
Right. Like, it's not like an order. Like, you have to get there. And you have to earn it. And, like, when people are like, you just got to be positive. That's how you get there. It's like, okay, but how do you be positive? Like, can we start somewhere?
Let's make some action steps.
Right.
Let's make a list.
I want some people to have some places to start and some ways to kind of identify. So why don't we break down the different... So what do you... You kind of broke it down a little bit already, but let's talk about the different kinds of stress. So we have anxiety, which is much more physical. Right.
Right. Well, I think you can be, like, anxiety, if you're going to go have it treated, or it could be treated like that. Mm-hmm. It's definitely that, like, it has a physical manifestation to it. You can, like, see it in, or I don't want to say physical, physiological, let's say. Because
right.
it might not be an outward.
It's stemming from your thoughts.
Right. It's definitely controlled by your mind. And you, like... I could be sitting here right now, and you wouldn't know that I'm having an anxiety
right.
attack.
Right,
so,
right, right.
But, like, the coolest...
But your heart rate would elevate, right? Stuff like that.
Totally.
Yeah.
The coolest, like, manifestation of it that I've seen is I actually got my aura red one time
mm-hmm.
mid-anxiety attack.
Oh, cool.
And I went
on... Was it zebra print?
It was. Just... No, it was just red.
Oh,
just,
wow.
Just bright-ass
like,
red
black.
Right across. The woman, like, pulled the... I don't know if you've ever had it done. They, like... It's like a Polaroid, and they, like, pull the film off of it. Or I go to this, like, place on Canal Street
that
I told you about.
I need to go.
I went on my, like, best friend Marielle's birthday, and I couldn't cancel on her. I was so stressed and overwhelmed,
girl.
And I, like, forgot about it, right? So it's like, I'm prepared to go. She just pulls the sheet off, like, shh. And she was like, oh my goodness.
She's like, are you okay?
I was like, so you wouldn't look at me and know, but
right.
it's a physiological, I feel like, is a better
yeah.
response to
so
that.
So is it something that you can develop when your thought processes change? Or is it something... Like, are you born with it, or... is it something that's completely out of your control, or can you, like, if you coach yourself... Okay, so let me ask you a different way. Do you ever get, or do people, if you know, get anxiety attacks involuntarily that are not sparked by thoughts that are of anxiety or thoughts of being overwhelmed?
It can come out of nowhere, or, like, seemingly out of the blue.
But I was going to say, is it just subconscious, though?
I personally believe that, like, even if you're not sitting there thinking about something, there has to be something subconsciously going on.
Oh, yeah, we have so many subconscious thoughts.
Right? So when it is, there are absolutely people, and I don't want to, like, someone to hear this and, like, know that they suffer from anxiety and be like, it can happen out of nowhere. Like, no, we totally understand
that. Oh, yeah, we're not doctors.
What we're saying is, like, it's not in your forefront conscious thought, but it's somewhere deep in there. And if it's deep in there, your body is going to bring it out. It's just like the way you dream, or maybe you have an anxiety.
Psycho dreams. Podcast number 6 coming up, my psycho dreams. No one cares except for Kristen.
It's I love it. Yeah.
It's okay. We'll just make the podcast for us.
It's cool.
We'll just play it for ourselves.
I'll listen to it. Great.
So, okay. So, but, well, because I mean, and it's not a medical diagnosis from us, but I think it's important for people to be able to. And we do this all the time where we bridge that gap between, you know, a doctor and medicine and biology, and making it really, like, human and approachable and relatable and understandable in terms that are, you know, easier for people to grab onto. So I think that that's an important thing for people to be able to have the vocabulary to talk about it and own that. And that way they can understand it better, and then they can understand their bodies better. So I feel like whatever we, you know, however you can explain it, and I can explain my procrastination stress, my self-inflicted stress. But I think just, you know, and we know this too as trainers, somebody might explain to you how to do a deadlift 16 times, but somebody explains it to you differently once and you get it.
Yeah.
And that's what this is for.
Totally.
So, and then how is it different from feeling anxious? Because I feel anxious, but I feel like it's usually a positive thing. Like, excited?
Oh, that's another level to it. So you can feel anxious in a positive way. So the feeling of anxiety is just a thought about, like, the unknown in the future. And, like, I think it's usually, like, future driven.
Uh-huh.
Even if you're anxious about something that happened before, the anxiety you feel is about how it's going to affect
your
future. Happen
again. Like, right.
Could it happen again, or is it going to impact me moving forward?
It's like the possibilities.
Right.
Being negative.
Right.
Yeah.
And we're worried about that. But you can also, it's just that I think it all bears around this unknown, and that also will, like, pull into how you combat it, is just, like,
and that
breaking
control,
through
right?
that unknown and figuring out how you need to feel control over your life, over your feelings, over your schedule, over
And I think so much of it is, like, conditional, too, because it's not that I don't get that feeling. I actually was just writing about this today. It's not that I don't get that feeling. Well, first of all, I never call it panic. Like, I feel like I don't ever feel panicky. I feel that, like, bubbly, like, that little, like, tension, like, the hot bubbles in my tummy, or, like, that tight little knot, or, like, it's kind of, like, cold in my chest. Like, but I usually don't feel, like, scared about it. I feel like, it feels like before you go on stage.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Like, stage fright kind of a thing. But I also was writing about how, like, I think it's conditioning. Like, my mom is, like, the most anxious person. My poor mother has been, like, mentioned in every single podcast. I'm sorry, Mom. I love you. Most days. My mom and my sister are, like, anxiety queens. And me and my father, who shall not be named, are, like, literally give zero fucks about anything. So, but I think that that's part of it, too, and, like, the way you experience those things, like, people around you. So I think that there is something to be said about, like, being able to change that, because I was thinking about it today. I was working on one of my projects, and it's, like, a lot. It's really overwhelming, and I have a deadline, and I have so much shit going on. I have way more things than I can do physically. And I felt this, like, tightness, and sometimes I feel that, like, feeling, like, overwhelmed. Like, I'm like, oh, my God, fuck. I have to, like, live up to this, or I have so much I have to do. But I feel, like, excited about it. Like, it feels more, like, I get that feeling, but because I call it drive, or because I call it anticipation, the thoughts kind of go in, it's kind of like a fork in the road, almost. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, one of the cool ways that I like to deal with, like, my anxiety is I like to use that as a driver.
Right.
And as a motivation. It's like, it's very difficult for me to live an anxiety-free life.
Mm-hmm. I think for anybody.
Right.
Like, even I'm saying I have it, I just, like, it's like a different.
Right. So it's like, if we can't get rid of these feelings, we can make them less scary by identifying them and labeling them and welcoming them in, and just, like, just being like, hey, you're here, what's up? Like,
I'm sitting with it,
can't get rid of you. You know, I didn't ask you to come, but you're here, so let's make the best of it.
Yeah.
And then you could turn it, and that's just, like, basic dealing with it. But then if you're able to, like, really, really own that this is how you think and this is who you are, then you're able to take those feelings and
make some change with them and make some action with them. And if they're going to light a fire for you and sort of, like, be that kindling
right.
that, like, lights, like, let your anxiety light a fire under your ass mm-hmm. to get moving or to not put yourself in this situation again.
Yeah,
right?
Preventative.
Like, you bet your ass I'm not going to miss freaking jury duty again.
Ever
like,
again.
I, right, like, that fire is lit. Like, right. I check that shit. I've right. got my letter that I did it in my file of important papers in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
Right? So it, like, lit my fire up to just be like, hey, Kristen, you need to grow up. Mm-hmm. You need to, you know, like, be a good citizen of the United States.
As the flag waves in the
yes.
back. Yeah, and I think that that's, you know, you kind of mentioned something before, too, that I wanted to touch on, like, you know, using it as a tool, but also kind of like what you mentioned in the beginning, like, I'm feeling anxious or I have anxiety. Like, it's something that I heard in a meditation class not that long ago. And it's the same thing. It's all things that I know, and that's also been a recurring theme here. It's like, we know these things, but it's about applying them. It's having those feelings, you kind of said it before, where it's like a part of you are not that feeling. You know, and I think, like, when you feel anxious, like, a lot of times, or stressed or whatever, it's almost like we look at that as, like, a flaw, and then we kind of feel, like, almost like a failure a little bit because we didn't do this thing, and it sort of just, like, leads into this spiral. So just being, like, I'm feeling anxious or, like you were saying, anxiety is here or stress is here, I'm chilling with it. It's just experience. It's not who you are, it's not a condition, it's not a personality,
it's not an
illness, and it's not a failure either. It's just, and like you said, if you can take that and turn it into a tool, you know, like I was when I was writing today, because, you know, that was definitely like that overwhelming, that pressure I put on myself to, like, be the fucking, you know, president of the United States, whatever. That's definitely not a positive that's definitely not a positive side of my stress. That's like a big, like, burden. But then I was thinking, like, to spin it positive, and we talk about this all the time, like, it's not because you can't do all of these things. Like, if you have, like, this big undertaking and you're stressed about it, it's not because you can't do it, or it's not because, you know, you have to do everything, but it's a positive thing that it's because you want to. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
That's a positive quality for you, that you want to do more or that you want to succeed. It's not because you can't meet this big goal. Like, instead of looking at the difference between where you are and what you need to get done or what you need to achieve or perform, it's more like, these are the aspirations and I have high ambitions.
Totally.
You know? Because people are complacent. They just sit there at home and they're like, no, I don't care.
Right. When I look at some of the, like, really awesome things that I've accomplished in my life, I can think back to, like, when I was on the cusp of it
yeah.
or, like, still starting it. And it's, like, even going back to, like, getting all your homework done in high school.
Ugh.
I worked two jobs.
Getting PTSD.
Right? Like, we can name these things. Like,
oh my God, bartending when the rush comes in, you fucking pee a
right.
little bit.
Like, let's rattle it off. Like, I was in 5 honor societies. I was in marching band. I was in uh-huh. every performance ensemble. I worked 2 jobs. I was a dancer. I had all this
so
stuff.
So one place where you and I are twins.
Right. So
overachiever
we
queens.
Did all of this, right? But there's no way that I would have come home at, like, 11 o'clock at night, having to wake up at 5 a.m. the next
uh-huh.
morning and stayed up and studied and written the paper.
You would have never gotten it done.
I wouldn't have gotten it done if I didn't know that I would not be able to sleep because I would have felt anxiety or mm-hmm. I would have been anxious about not doing it.
Yeah.
So I also think that it can really be like a great driver and motivator and like kind of like a superpower if you want to look at it that
yeah.
way too.
And it's also like, I mean, this is a big thing for me that I'm learning now is using past experiences to try to, like, when you're in something bad, be like, okay, like a heartbreak, right? So you're in the middle of a heartbreak and you're like, dude, I got over this last guy so easily, I'm gonna get over this guy again. You know what I mean? So kind of like that same thing where you're feeling anxious and you're like, look at what good things came out of my anxiety mm-hmm. before. And that, and kind of like you were saying too, but for me, I feel like having that anxiety where I have these high expectations of myself or that stress, I mean, I don't know if that's the same thing as the kind of anxiety panic attacks you're talking about, it might be different in terms of, like, controlling the situation. For me, it's more, like, the expectation mm-hmm. and trying to meet that, or maybe performing a task, getting something done, whatever. But it's almost like if you didn't have that anxiety about, like, if you didn't feel like there was a big consequence if you don't get these things done, you wouldn't do them. You know what I mean?
100%.
Because it's like stakes. It's like high stakes, right? If you feel like if you don't get this done, if you don't finish this project, or if you don't, you know, make your sales quota, whatever, that, like, your whole world's going to crumble, then, like, you're not going to get there. You know what I mean? It's, like, the higher the stakes, the more you're going to push and you're going to succeed.
Yeah. I said something to my staff at the last gym that we worked at, and I was just, I mentioned to them at some point, like, we were all just kind of talking, and I just blurted out, I was like, oh, I'm so lazy. And they, my whole staff looked at me and they were like, are you kidding? I was like, no, you guys don't understand. Like, I have so many, like, things in place to make sure that I get my shit done. Mm-hmm. Because if I don't do it, there are really serious consequences. Like, you all don't get paid.
Right.
Or, like, I don't, like, my cat will die if I don't remember to feed him. Like, right. There are dire consequences, and I've put in these systems to help me remember to do things. But, like, if I didn't have those, like, I would forget. I would be lazy about it. So,
and Kristen's the most freaking on-point productive person ever, by the way. She'll call me, and she'll be like, it'll be like 8:30 a.m. She's like, I already talked to Mrs. and had six clients and did this. And then I actually just, like, scheduled to a T.
I sleep really well.
This is the only place where her and I are like, we cannot. Like, I cannot be scheduled. She'll call me and be like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm still at home. It's like 2 p.m. Yeah. But, like, then I come in at 3 and run around like a fucking psycho to get everything done. It's like, why couldn't I just do it that way? But I think that, I don't remember what I was going to say before. Wait, what were you saying before about your employees?
Oh, so they were talking about sort of like being lazy, and I, like, mentioned to them, like, it's I'm lazy too. Like, I think a human condition is that, like, if we don't have, you, like, you can be as motivated as you want. We talk about this all the time. Mm-hmm. Have all the motivation in the world. It doesn't mean shit unless you have the discipline to get it done.
Yeah.
You can want anything, but unless you have the discipline to take action, and that's one of my best strategies against stress.
Yeah.
It's just taking action, whatever it is.
I talk about that with food, too.
Yeah.
Feeling more in control.
It's anything that we could ever talk about as a health coach.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, like, take an action. Mm-hmm. Your action could be doing nothing. If you're overwhelmed by things, then the action is, like, taking a mental health day. Uh-huh. But it's having that courage and to do it. And then also, like, when you're talking about long-term results, it's having the discipline to have these processes in place all the time.
And stick to them.
I don't expect that I will ever really be rid of the ability to, like, have anxiety attacks or, like, feel a certain way towards mm-hmm. food or, like, all of mm-hmm. these things that I know just are the way my brain works. Yeah. I'm not expecting that, like, okay, just, like, 12 more weeks of this work and all of a sudden I'm going to be cured. Like,
right.
No.
And that's smart.
This is Kristen. This mm-hmm. is who I am. It's all of the wonderful things about me are this way because I have that too.
Yeah.
But so then you just have to have the discipline to be like, this is what I'm going to do forever.
Right.
And if you make it sustainable, so not this, like, grandiose kind of change you have to make, but if you make it small and sustainable.
Yeah, literally all we were talking about yesterday with diet, for sure. But it's funny because I think, like, you know, it's hard to know. You have to know yourself, too, and I think that's super, super important to not set too high expectations, because it's not necessarily a negative thing either. Like we were saying, it could be a positive thing that you have this stress and pressure. It's a driver, but, you know, not letting it be necessarily circumstantial. So almost like, because it can kind of go two ways. Like, you want to kind of take more responsibility on yourself, like how you're saying, like, this is part of me. Like, we were kind of just saying the opposite before, but that's more like the panic attack kind of a thing. But in terms of, like, that sort of quality, like, you have a tendency.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, own that and don't set your expectations to be rid of it or think that you're a failure without it, which is what we were saying. Like, own it and, mm-hmm. and use it as a tool. But it's also, like, knowing, too, and being able to self-diagnose because, like, for me, like, we're so opposite, like, if I'm stressed, taking a rest day would make me worse because I'm stressed because I don't get shit done. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. it's like you have to really kind of look at the source of, like, what are my triggers? Like, when do I get most anxious? What are the things that I did leading up to this that put me in this position, like you were saying before? What would I need to do beforehand? And this all comes, like, step by step, you know, just looking at it first, awareness first, and then kind of identifying and recording and observing, and then looking back at it, like, what caused this and what could I have done beforehand, especially with anxiety. I talk about it with diet all the time too, like, don't leave yourself where, you know, you're screwed at the last minute running out the door and you have to eat a cookie on the subway, which I do every single morning.
Hi.
Literally every day. It's my favorite thing. It gets me out of the house, my subway cookie. But, you know, don't leave yourself to be in that position where you don't have any choices, which I do all the time.
I think that's really good what you said about, like, identifying your triggers.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're talking about, like, stress management and how you're going to deal with that and how you can be proactive mm-hmm. about it. Like, to me, being proactive is my number one offense.
Yeah, because there's so much, like, there's so much out there about stress relief after the fact.
Let's just not get stressed. Let's just not put yourself in that environment.
Did you guys hear that? Write that down.
Yeah, like, reverse that point again. Like, be proactive. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't put yourself in that. Like, I can sit here and tell you, like, the moments I feel stressed and be like, this is what you did or this is what you didn't prioritize doing. And you made something else a priority in your life. And so you didn't do X. And you know that with that, it made you feel a certain way.
There. Right. And that comes with, you have to be honest with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about it so much on the nutrition podcast about blaming external circumstances. Sorry, mom. It's all you. I'm sorry. It's she does the same thing where it's like, it's everybody else's fault that, you know, oh, I couldn't be on time because there was traffic. No, you didn't leave early enough. You know what I mean? So, like, you have to be honest with yourself in terms of, like, and if you get in the practice of this about looking at it, and you don't even have to take action right away, but getting in the practice of looking at what could I have possibly done beforehand to avoid this? Even if the train is crowded, even if you're late, even if somebody, like a homeless man throws up on you, like you were standing in the wrong spot. You know, like, what I mean?
What could you have done?
Right.
And it's taking okay that responsibility. If that's like would have been a wild thing for you to do. Like, you don't have to anticipate the homeless guy throwing up on you.
Sure. I'm saying I'd go that far.
Yeah. I'm sure that you've used this with your clients before, but one of my favorite things that I make my clients say in their verbiage and I put into my own practice as well is the phrase, it wasn't a priority to me.
Yes.
So, because that really makes you, A, take ownership
absolutely.
Of it. And B,
absolutely.
it's not a permanent thing. It's not like you're like, I'm a failure. It's like, no, it wasn't a priority in my actions.
Or I can't do this. Or like, I can't get
stuff done.
Can't
and never are not in our vocabulary. That's not allowed, like, in this house, in my gym, wherever.
Yeah.
But so when you're talking about, like, okay, I was stressed this week because I didn't get to eat. Or I didn't have my food prepped because, and so I made some less than great choices. Like, let's say that
I prioritize going out to the bar instead
of cooking. Like, that is a big source of stress for me, both that I get hangry, like, in a real, like, I will be the world's biggest bitch. I realized that, like, the reason I was an awful teenager was just because I was hungry all the time.
Yeah,
I would have, like, I ruined my parents, like, 5-year span just because I didn't eat.
Yeah, and you, like, have a carb.
Right, like, just eat a muffin or, like, a biscuit and you'll be okay.
A biscuit, guys. Get out your biscuits. But it's funny because I'm listening to us talk and, like, I was saying this before Chris and I even started recording that, like, clients really appreciate when you're relatable because we're humans. Like, we're talking about how we're coaches, we're teaching this, but we're talking about how we deal with these things. But if you notice, we're both talking about how we have these flaws all the time, but we're fully aware and we know that we can change them when we want. And it's kind of like you were saying before, and even what I tell clients when they say I couldn't work out, it's like, do not say I couldn't, say I didn't want to.
It wasn't,
or
a,
I didn't choose
it wasn't
it.
A priority
sure.
to me, right?
Well,
because then that
depends on what the case is,
right? Because that also, like, it's not a good or a bad thing inherently, but it does require further inspection onto that. And that's why I like that phrase, because it's like, okay, let's say I'm telling you I didn't work out, and you're like, rephrase that, like, it wasn't a priority to me to work out. It may have been that my kid was in the hospital, and I was with them, and my kid being in the hospital was my priority. And then it's like, it causes me to sit here and say, like,
and
okay.
And then not feel guilty.
Yes, I don't feel guilty because I realize kid in the hospital, more important than working out. But then it also couldn't have the reverse. It'd be like, it wasn't a priority to me. Okay, what were you doing instead? You know what? I just kind of, like, dicked around at work a little bit longer, and then, like, went shopping and walked home and just took the long, like, could you honestly have been a little more efficient at some things?
Yeah. So I would say, like, in theory, could you have, you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah. And it's, but then you take that and you make a plan moving forward.
Right. But you have to, that first step of being aware and being honest with yourself, and maybe you just need to do it in your own quiet time. Maybe you need a coach to help you and make you feel like it's okay. Because some people won't take any responsibility, and some people take too much responsibility, and they think everything's their fault. Mm-hmm. So you really have to look at, like Kristen's saying, you know, could I have, theoretically, logistically, physically, possibly, could I have changed these things? And that perfectly leads me into what I wanted to talk about, too, is when we talk about, you mentioned, too, I said the same thing, but just in a way more dramatic way. No, me, dramatic. We're talking about the consequences of if you don't get something done, right? Because it's kind of more stress, anxiety, kind of a different thing, mm-hmm. But sort of stress. Do the consequences come from other environmental factors, external factors, other people, or are they coming from you? You know what I mean? I think that's a really important line to draw, too. Like, am I making this a self-punishment opportunity? Like, if you're saying, like, if I don't get payroll done, my employees aren't going to get paid. Okay, I think that that's valid.
Right.
Because that's really important. You have a responsibility. Is it, like, if I don't show up to this party, all my friends are going to hate me? You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. is that really realistic?
And that's your mind creating situations and consequences that aren't there.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a lot of our interactions are, like, you witnessing me having stress. And yeah. I think that, like, I know, and I will own that probably at least 75% of my stress is self-inflicted.
Mm.
And I own that, and I work really hard at, like, emphasizing it and remembering it,
mm-hmm.
and that kind of thing. And I mean, even like getting out of work late today mm-hmm. to come do this podcast with you, like I was stressed about it
mm-hmm.
because, and it's not that I didn't want to do the podcast, and it's not that I didn't want to do anything, but it was like I was stressed that I got like lost track of time at work and got too busy. And then, like, well, did I have other plans? Am I letting Allie down mm-hmm. by being late? Like, is she gonna be mad at me?
Yeah, girl, I'm having a snack. Right, whatever.
This is the most classic Allie-Kristen interaction. Yeah. Like, I am, like, chest is starting to tighten. I'm freaking out. I'm like, oh, my gosh, what's happening? Like, I also had plans later. Like, is he going to be mad at me? Like, yeah. everyone's going to be so mad at me. No one's going to want to be my friend anymore.
Right.
Like, and you just have to take a step back.
Right, because yourself. Meanwhile, like, because she's thinking that I'm going to be so furious, and I was literally, like, I didn't even, like, I was like, what time is it? Like, I'm literally eating a snack, reading a book. Like, yeah, girl. Like, zero plans.
Saving,
you know what I mean?
Someone.
So it's like,
yeah.
Right. So it's like, you have to really look at the actual reality of the situation, and something that I read about, which I think is really, really awesome. In anxiety, when they talk about, you know, worst case scenario, but I usually use it as, like having faith in myself. Like, people always say, like, you know, when you're getting stressed or anxiety, well, what if I don't get it done? Well, what if I, you know, let this person down? Or what if I fail? It's like, what if you don't? You know what I mean? What if it works out? What if you get there on time and everyone's happy and you get to all your plans and you still have all the same friends the next day? Which is probably what is going to happen, and I think already did. Well, I'm still your friend. I'll be your friend tomorrow.
You are.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, like, as we're talking through this, I feel, like, the tightness in my stomach just kind of, like, letting go, even, like, from that
I thought you were going to say you're feeling, like, the empathetic as we're recounting those scenarios.
No. And I mean, I talking about it again, I was, like, starting to get stressed again, and we're going through these processes. So, like, I mean, what great way to, like, talk about all the coping strategies that we wanted to than to mm-hmm. just be, like, was literally happening right before we turn the mm-hmm. microphone on.
Mm-hmm.
And as we're kind of talking through it, I'm just sort of, like, remembering to, like, see what is
yeah.
in a situation. I think that's powerful. When you're stressed, too, you stop thinking really rationally.
Yeah.
Your brain goes on to that, like, beta mode. So mm-hmm. it's just doing. And
it's, like, survival.
Right.
Which isn't always logical.
You gotta take off the autopilot and, like, take it. And then for me, personally, I have to actively, like, forgive myself for
mm-hmm.
it and know, like, you...
Because the guilt sometimes, too, is just as bad.
The guilt will kill me.
Yeah.
And that's, like, where the stress is for
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
Like, you're not mad at me.
Nope.
He's not going to be mad at me.
Right.
He'll be chilling.
It's a year expectation.
Literally, either way, like, he's probably napping right now.
Right.
Honestly. And, like,
is he a
happy
Pisces
too. He's a Virgo, ironically,
well,
which I'm honestly, like, not sure how. That's still, like, TBD.
Check his ID.
Have to do his natal chart. Asked him for his birthday on the first day. I was like, what time are you born?
Right. I found out I was, like, Sagittarius moon or something, and I was like, so many things make sense. So my whole life is complete. But I think, I want to talk about, too, and then we can kind of leave everybody on that, is sort of some action plans, because I think for some people, like, adding more tasks to their day can be even more stressful. Like, mm-hmm. oh, my God, I have another thing I have to add. I hear clients say that to me all the time. So it's really important to just, and, you know, I preached about this yesterday. My plans for clients, I'm pretty sure you're the same way. I don't particularly know. You haven't trained me before. But I don't have plans for anybody. You know what I mean? It's whatever your plan is. Like, there's no, like, alley program. I don't have something that I start with. I don't have an outline. It's whatever you, whatever's going to work for you. It's different for everybody. Like, that's why it's perfect for us to be talking about this, because we have exactly opposite.
Yeah.
Like if I, oh my God, if I wrote out like a schedule for my day or my week or something, that would stress me out. Like, having a plan stresses me out.
Even you saying that you don't have that,
if you guys just saw her face, she almost threw up on me.
I, like, did one of those polite, like, swallows.
It was like Veruca Small when she chews the blueberry pine bubblegum.
I'm like, no, I couldn't be more.
But that rigidity makes me feel suffocated and makes me feel like I have more ways to mess up. And then, like, I can't, like, go with my gut and go with my intuition. And that's when I'm strongest. So it's, like, so important for people to look at. Don't follow somebody else's plan. Yeah. Like, look at, like, what makes you stressed? You know what I mean? Like, look at your own triggers and then why you got that way.
Yeah.
But I also want to go through a little bit about, I want to give some tips on action plans for the people that do need it. Because 99% of people need that, and they're not my weird-ass anomalous self. So, but I want to talk about the difference between circumstantial stress and or anxiety, and anxiety is just coming from our thoughts. So, like, today, like, the stress came from your perception of the situation or the outcome, and a lot of times stress or anxiety comes from, you know, I have too many appointments today and I can't physically be in 10 places at once. That's mm-hmm. usually my thing, because I like to just do 62 jobs.
Triple book yourself for everything.
I do it all the time. I think I honestly genuinely think I'm going to be 3 humans in the same hour. Sometimes I am, but rarely. Depends on how much Adderall I have that day. So let's give some, like, tips on... Let's do the scheduling first, and you can probably help with that, because I obviously don't know how to manage a schedule. And then we could talk about some tips for managing the thought processes that get out of control. So what are some things you do to help when your schedule is the thing that's, like, physically... And try to diagnose those guys, too. Like, where is the stress coming from? Is it coming from me? Is it coming from my circumstance?
Yeah.
Am I really just working too many hours? Am I trying to be in too many places at once? That's what I do. Mm-hmm. So what are some things that you usually do? Or even tell your clients?
Yeah, I think that if you're not, like, if you are able to take a little more control over your situation, even if you have a super busy schedule, like, we're in New York City, we're, you know, trying to hustle and mm-hmm. do all this, and also eat clean and also work out and do and, like, have a social life, have a love life, and, like, call your mother, right? So it's these things, and I think it's if you're able to identify that, like, yes, there are enough hours in the day to do these things, mm-hmm. we just have to be smart about how we go about it. Then I'm a lister, I'm a planner, I'm a prioritizer, and I really, really love and rely on my, like, calendar on my phone, mm-hmm. because my phone is on me all the time, mm-hmm. right? It's my lifeline. My Metro card's in there. Like, mm-hmm. I can't get anywhere without it. Mm-hmm. So I have my phone, and, like, y'all can't see this, but I'm going to pull it up for Allie and give her the visual. I feel like you've seen this before. And it's so we can go in, and my last couple of days, oh, you know, I have the wrong calendar on right now. That's another, I made a calendar for one of my employees because he was stressing me out with his, like, loopy doopy.
Do you want to know what's in my calendar? 0 things.
No. So,
no, I don't.
It's associated with my Gmail, right? So it's, like, the Google Calendar on my phone, and I have color-coded for all of my jobs, and there's, like, one color for personal training, and there's one color for this one gym, and there's another color for another gym that I might work at.
So compartmentalizing more.
And there's a color for Kristen Richards, mm-hmm. and that is where I book in, like, my own workout time.
You saying that in a turtleneck right now just gave me so much life. I just saw, like, Kristen for governor. Like, you just had your, like...
Vote for Pico. Yeah. So I book all of that. So if I know...
That's a great tip.
I thrive on that, too, because a lot of our days with making appointments, and I think probably everybody... Even if you're not, like, in a training coaching situation, you may have meetings during your day or that kind of thing. So if you're able to look at what has a hard time to it. Mm, so, like, session starts at 1 p.m. and it ends at 2 p.m. We can't get around that. We can't do it. Put that stuff into your calendar first. Book that in your schedule first. This can't move. It has to happen at these exact times. I have to be there then. Then, for us, we bounce all over the city a lot. So, I will actually book in commuting time.
Because
that's a source of stress for a lot of people that I think we don't own enough, like, as a, maybe as a city. I think this maybe is different. No, you know what? This was the same thing when I worked in Bumblefuck, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, traffic.
You have to factor in your time. So I learned to avoid anxiety around saying, like, oh, the train made me late, and you're standing on the platform and your stomach just drops. Right? So I will literally book in, like, okay, I know that I have this session at this gym and this session at this gym, and it's going to take me at least 30 minutes because the F train does its own schedule all the time. So I book that time in there. And then I, you know, I have my little, like, notebook, kind of like you're jotting in now. And every day I just, like, make an action list of things I need to do. And that's, this is more like, I think, for my business. We're almost, like, getting into, I'm like, those non-negotiables, like payroll, your staff has to get
paid. That can be anything for anybody, even if they're a stay-at-home mom. What are your non-negotiables? Making lunch, laundry.
Absolutely. Like, whatever needs to get done for you to keep your world turning.
Like a survival list.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you want to prioritize it, right? But then you look at, once you have your hard times in the calendar, then you're able to look at the space. And you have that negative space in there. And it's interesting. There's, like, two versions of the Google Calendar. There's the one, I'm an iPhone girl, so there's the one that's already, like, loaded onto your phone.
Yeah.
And then there's another one that's, like, an app you could download. And the app that download is way prettier. And it has, like, when you type workout, there's, like, a cute little picture of people working out. Nice. But what I hate about that calendar and why I had to stop using it is because it will just bunch all of your appointments right next to each other.
That's
and
annoying.
You don't see that negative space in there.
Right.
And so that negative space is where I am able to visually look at my day and be like, okay, in this time, just because you're not booked in an appointment doesn't mean that you're not doing this. Like, this is your food. This is when you're going to eat today. Or this is going to be that. This is your time to get your emails answered or check in with your parents. Or, like, and if it's something important that needs to be done, I have to book it in my calendar. I said, for example, I said all week long that I was going to send in the application to get my passport this week. I have all the documents I need. I just have to actually make the damn time to print out the form and write it and bring it to the spot. And I haven't done it because I didn't prioritize it.
Because everything's going to get pushed back
If I had put it in my calendar at a certain time, I can't say 100% that I would have done it, but I would have been a lot more accountable to it. And if I, for me, I think it's, like, it's very easy for me to just, like, especially in my current role right now, I'm just there. I'm available to people. It's, we
do
service.
Yeah, you can get pulled around. That's a lot of people's jobs.
But if I know that I have something happening, I'm like, I'm sorry, and I'll delegate that. Like, anybody else can do it.
And that's a skill too, guys. Like, that, this takes practice, and you will fuck up a lot. But I think it's really important what you said too. Like, I think it's really easy for people at work to schedule things because they have set times. You know, you have to be there at 12. But I think a lot of people tend to neglect that really important part that you said. And I actually am better at scheduling this kind of stuff than work stuff. But you have to schedule, like you said, time to go over your goals, time to, you know, call your significant other, time to
put it in
you
your
know,
calendar,
plan your party. Because that's something for me, big time, because I'm a cuckoo banana cakes brain. And I, and I'm sure you feel like this too, when you don't set aside time, not just to physically be somewhere, but to put your mental energy, like when I go to meditation, right, it's scheduled. That's not like a thing that I like have to go, but it's like I put aside that time. So when I know already that from 7 to 8 I'm going to be meditating, I put down my phone. I'm not thinking about other things because I'm prepared to be present in the task I'm doing. And that's super important to kind of delegate where your mind is going to be, not just where your body's going to be, but where your thought process is going to be, what you're focusing on. And so that way you can be present, because if you let your mind go all day long, first of all, not only is that stress physically that's what it is when your mind goes crazy. But then you're not going to be productive in anything you're doing, and you're just going to be behind again the next day. You know what I mean? So kind of like setting that headspace and compartmentalizing, not just physically and in time, which is super important, but also when you set aside that time, like, okay, I'm going to have 2 hours where I'm going to, like, be with my friends, and you're with your friends. You know what I mean? It doesn't set you up for that, like, panic when your thoughts are going wild, because when you feel like, I'm sure you're like this too, you'll be in a meeting and you're thinking about the next thing you have to do and you're panicking.
That's that notebook. Write it down. Always with me.
Yep.
But I think, like, the putting it into a schedule, or whether you have a visual calendar with that space, or you have a list that you're making, like, that act of physically writing it or physically scheduling it does two things. One, it owns it. It's three things. It's you owning it, that you're going to do it, or going to do it, like, going to try to. And then it's taking it out of your brain and putting it onto something to remind you. And that's really powerful for me, because I don't like to trust my own brain to remember.
That's tiring, things. Too.
It's exhausting.
Always have to worry about remembering everything.
And that is going to make your mind spin more. Yeah. And we're not actually meant to, like, multitask that much. We shouldn't.
Like, three things.
Right? Like, be more mindful. Be more present.
And one of those three things is breathing. So, you're only left with two.
Yeah. There we go.
Don't chew gum, like, and try to talk.
I hope you're not turned on. Yeah. Like, because then it's all done.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's over.
But it helps. And it's you taking ownership of, I'm going to do this. And here's me allotting space in my life, and making space and making time and making priorities.
Yeah, and if you know that if you know the other things that you would have been worrying about have their own space and their own time slot, like when you're in a work meeting and you already know you have your other two, you know, your meditation time and your time to work on your music or whatever, if you know that those things already have their other space and you saved time for them, and you know in your mind that it's ready and it's waiting for you and it's not going to get forgotten, then you can be more present in what you're doing and not freak out.
Totally.
And I also think, because for me, like I said, I tend to overbook and just try to be superwoman and have 100 jobs. And so my thing, and I do this with clients sometimes too, is when you're trying to prioritize, because it's like, okay, prioritize. For me, that's my problem. I don't know how, because everything is so important to me and I love so many things the same, and I can't be six humans. So that's the hardest part for me. So then I'm just like fucked, right? So when I think about prioritizing, I think about, like, okay, what are the most important parts of my life that need my care and attention or need my energy right now, right? So it'll be maybe my career, my health, and my creativity, right? So maybe pick your top three things that need your time and attention, aspects of your life, you know, whatever. And then when you go through your schedule, look through everything you have booked in the week and check it. Does it feed my creativity, my health, or my career? If it doesn't, bye. Mm-hmm. That's it. And I have to do that shit, because I'm like, I can volunteer for this, like, park pickup. No, you cannot.
Like, you know, don't what I mean? Have time for
right,
that.
Right, but yeah. I want to, and I think, oh, but I want to do it. It's going to be fun. I should do it.
We want to do everything.
Right. So you kind of, and that's like a little trick that I use to help me prioritize, because that's the hardest thing. Like, what's most important to you? And it could be one thing. Maybe the most important thing in your life right now is your health, or maybe it's, you know, getting a promotion, or maybe it's finding somewhere to move to, whatever. What's the most important thing that you need to create change, or that you need to devote your energy and time to? Go through everything that's in your calendar, and if it's not one of those one, two, three things, see you later. Yeah.
I feel like it's important to also say that, like, you make these lists, you make this calendar, right? It will not work that way. Like, I'll say it again. It will not happen this way. Mm-hmm. But the fact that you wrote it down meant that you prioritized it. So I personally, like, when I do that, and when I see clients do it, then because you wrote it, because you owned it, because you prioritized it, you'll find a way later to make it. And it doesn't become a, ooh, am I going to work out today? It's like, oh, no, I wrote that down. Oh, I can't do it now, but I could do it later.
And then you could swap it around.
And then you move things and you still make it happen.
It's so important. I was saying that yesterday, too, with dieting. It's also like a habit, too. And when you just start making those changes, even if you fail 100 times, you have to think about it as experiments. Right? Let me try this out. And it's not, I did it and I failed, or I can't do it. It's, let me find out what works. And even if you, like you were saying before, you're not going to be 100%. So don't set yourself to that standard. But even if you're 75% productive and stick to it, that's better than zero.
You're probably better than a lot of other people going on. Or you're for sure better off than you would have been if you had just done zero.
Right.
Because I think one of the things that we haven't touched on at all is that some people, when they're faced with stress, just shut down, and nothing happens too, and then that
also comes to a dark place and like a cycle that's hard to get out of too.
Oof, yeah.
So when you're feeling stressed,
it's like a snowball.
Right. And you're feeling stressed and then the feelings of being overwhelmed just build and build and build and to the point that you can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, it also has those like different levels and degrees mm-hmm. too. But
maybe that's when you need to just remove yourself. Or maybe you need to take action. Like I'm a, you know, take mm-hmm. action person.
And the take action at that point can be removing yourself
yes,
from the situation.
Yes, that's a really good point.
If you're stressed at work, take the action of taking a mental health day.
Yes.
Just take the day to allow yourself to kind of do nothing. And then mm-hmm. guess what? Like,
and still make that an active choice.
That's an active choice. And yeah. recognize that that's you taking action.
Yeah.
And at the end of that day, like, maybe make that calendar or right. make that list or
right.
or take an action to help you come back into that stressful situation.
Yeah.
Just a little bit more well prepared.
Plus, you don't feel so guilty about not doing anything if you're like, I chose this rest day.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what about like, so those are some really great helpful tips. I hope that's helpful to some people, whatever your action is, but it all comes from, you know, we're just giving general, you know, commonalities, but whatever your stressor is, you have to find out what's going to work for you. And you got to try a million things and you'll probably try 99 things that won't work until you find the one thing that does. So then what about when we get to that mental space? Like what are some, this is kind of my forte, what are some things that you do or give to clients when the stress or the anxiety is coming from thought processes that are maybe not based in reality or are irrational or exaggerated or something like that? Like what are some tools that you use or give to other people?
I think that the breath is a really powerful tool,
mm-hmm.
and it's probably the easiest one and most accessible because you don't like you're always as long as you're alive, you are breathing to some capacity. So, and it's not like an outward thing. So you could be sitting at your desk and feeling this way,
mm-hmm.
and you need it and tap into your breath and count it out.
Like it's accessible anywhere.
It's accessible yeah. anywhere, and you don't have to be a seasoned. Like have a seasoned practice in meditation or mm-hmm. breathing to know anything. Like mm-hmm. count to three in and count to three out.
Yeah.
And then count to four in and count to four out. Or like mm-hmm. just awareness of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to cue in some really good things in your body. And if anybody listening has an Apple Watch, they have a really cool breathing app mm. right on the phone. So some of my clients have that app and I actually like ping them with a little reminder during mm-hmm. the day to breathe. And you can set it for 30 seconds all the way up to 15 minutes to do. And
that's awesome.
It'll vibrate on your wrist and give you that feedback right there so you can go through that.
Yeah.
And I think that that's just like a super easy accessible tool to just stop the mind cycle
of yeah, because it kind of like just gets out of hand.
Yeah.
And something for me that I've noticed too, and especially in New York City, is we kind of, like, are functioning at this, like, fight-or-flight capacity. I talked about it in my article because we don't – our body doesn't know the difference. Like, when our brain sees mm-hmm. a tiger coming at us to eat us or it's our boss screaming at us to, you know, meet a deadline, when our brain says, oh, fuck, like, your body doesn't know the difference.
Has
and it's going
to
respond. And we're in this – I mean, that's why we're all really sick and fat. today's podcast is such an upper, but we're constantly in this like heightened state of like panic basically. And it's really detrimental. And it's, I feel like for me when we're like in this grind, right, it's like hustle or mentality is like so, you know, overly praised. Right. And we kind of lose that like absolute zero to where calm is. Like, it's kind of like we're comparing like a relaxing day is like, so say if like 10 is like your max stress level, right? And you're constantly working at a 9. And then you have a day that's a 7 and you're like, oh, I'm relaxed. Bitch, no. You know what I mean? Like you need to have that 0 to check back in. Like a lot of people, like when they go on vacation, like, oh, it took me 3 days to unwind because you forget what it feels like.
Yeah.
And that's what meditation is. You kind of practice that feeling so you know how to get back to it. So make sure you take time to, that's something that I do, take time to like slow down and like take the pressure off of yourself, schedule those 4 hours, whatever activity you want to do, to remind yourself what it actually feels like to be relaxed and happy. So that way when you go into the workday and you're at this high stress level, you're able to see that variance more exaggerated. You know what I mean? Instead mm-hmm. of going between a 7 and a 9, you're like, oh, from 0 to 9, you're like, whoa, 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 and you'll slow it down versus like, oh, this is the norm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think another thing for me too is, you know, we tend to, a problem is always going to seem bigger if it's the only thing that you can see, right? So it's kind of like bug on the lens, on the camera lens. So taking yourself out of the environment, like maybe even just for the day, for the weekend, or even just out of the office, honestly, problems can seem so like big when it's right in front of you and that's all that's happening around you. And then you go for a walk outside and you're like, oh, I forgot that there's other things going on. You know what I mean? And even just doing something that you enjoy, taking time for things that you love, and reminding yourself, kind of like that absolute zero for relaxation, but also reminding yourself like what it feels like to be happy, and then like you'll kind of miss it. You know what I mean? And kind of realizing that like you don't have to be in that state of panic if you don't want to be, and that it's not desirable, and that it's not an inherent part of your personality and who you are.
Right.
That you can do things you enjoy and be like, this is what it feels like to be happy. Let me try to get back to this more often.
You can't let the stress define you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's tough, right? But that's like a big part of you being able to move on from it, is knowing mm-hmm. that like I am feeling stressed, not mm-hmm. I am stressed.
Right. But that like nothing is permanent, basically.
Right. I have these feelings, but not I am.
Right.
And I think that like you definitely have a much better practice than I do as far as like meditation and mindfulness go. You've been at this longer than I have,
yeah.
And you do have more of a regularity to it.
Yeah.
But I think that even still, you and I are both like pretty eloquent in these like techniques and these things, right? So I think it's also like important to note that like just talking about your feelings of stress or whatever is overwhelming you is very helpful.
Because you'll find answers in the middle of the conversation that you didn't. No, or journaling, right? Like, I love to write.
Get it out.
Yeah, like, I'll come up with ideas in the middle of writing a paragraph that I started about something completely different.
You're like, oh, shit, there's the answer.
Right.
Boom, mm-hmm. right there. So I think it's good to, like, to talk it out or write it out. And one of the things that I started doing with a couple of my friends, like, when we're feeling stressed, we started asking the friends, do you have the emotional capacity for me to talk about this right now?
Mm-hmm.
And it was something that we actually had to start doing with a couple of my girlfriends, because we all experience panic attacks. It's like really great. We're this group of super stressed ladies.
Mm.
And I have been on the verge of being okay.
Yeah.
Like stressed, but I'm holding it together somehow. And then one of my friends comes at me and we
dumps it on you.
We go, I can like remember a couple times, we like go out for brunch and I think I'm going into this like,
right, hey, like, my friends are gonna lift me up.
Yay, great. Yeah. And she came to brunch to word vomit at me and to stress talk at me mm-hmm. to get it out.
Right.
Which is great for her, but it sent me into a panic attack.
Right. Because some people feel, I'm like that too, you feel responsible for other people's happiness.
Right. So it's
like,
not,
I have to fix this now.
Right. And it like totally threw me off balance. And I realized that like, it's a great thing to be able to talk to friends about it, and you should talk to people about it, but be careful with talking to your friends or coworkers.
Rotate them.
Yeah. Rotate it. And I just think it's really, really sweet and caring to say like, hey, I'm really stressed. Do you have the emotional capacity right now to listen to me mm-hmm. for a couple minutes? And if they say no, it's not that they don't like you and don't love you, but they don't have it. And that's the point that, like, you need to journal, or you need to, maybe you need some professional help. Maybe you need...
Like, go pay somebody who can...
There are people who not only will take your money for this, but they do it for a living. They're asking mm-hmm. for it.
Yeah.
And you should like, never apologize. Like, do not ever go into a therapist and be like, oh, I'm so sorry for ranting. Like, no, that's their job to listen to you. And they're going to help you cope with it.
Right, and it's unbiased, which
you're
is really important.
You're
going to
feel better. You can tell them anything. I'm a huge, huge, huge proponent of, like, therapy. And going to, you don't have to have a diagnosed condition. You don't have to be anything.
I don't know where that even came from. Like
great.
Who doesn't have human problems?
Here's the qualifications for going to see therapy. Do you have a heart? And it's beating.
Exactly.
Like, okay, great.
So it's like, who said being a human is, like, get out of here with that. But I also think it's important too, and this is a big thing for me, because you and I, and this is where me and Kristen are so similar and why we love each other so much, because we are always saving everyone. And we have a very good balance between each other that, like, we kind of can always save each other. And, like, we don't really... I don't know. It just works. I don't know why. But it does.
It does.
We just have each other's back. So, but we often get bogged down. And I often get, not stressed about it, but it's very disheartening sometimes, too. Because sometimes Kristen's really stressed. And, like, there's a lot of, I don't have many other people around me that I can go to in return for stress relief or things like that. So I oftentimes am left kind of like in the barracks. So it's important to have tools, and that's why I'm so introspective. I do meditation so much, and I paint, and I write, and I dance, and have, you know, and you might have to find something, look for something.
Yeah, let knitting, it out somehow.
Yeah, whatever. But like, a lot of people are like, I don't have something like that. Find it. Fucking find it. Dude, I don't have a thing.
Find aggressively one. Find it. Keep trying.
Try 10,000 things. Maybe it's fucking like, what's the thing where you dress up like fairy tale characters or something?
And cosplay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I would never have known that word. But like,
I'm honestly shocked that I did.
Yeah, it was like that was like a Jeopardy question. You're like, I know this one. Trivia.
You see the look in my eyes. I was so happy I knew it.
Yeah.
Teacher.
So I think it's important too to not. That's another sense of control too, and that's a big thing for me. You know, I kind of was, I'm that person. So I have to find my own ways to support myself. And a lot of people get panicky when they feel like they need help and they grab at people. And then if they're not available for you or they don't come through or your friend ditches you or they're busy or they just don't have that recognition that you really need help, then you're like even worse. You go into a tailspin and you feel helpless. So you have to have that like sustainable skill to be like, I need to be able to help myself. I need to be able to fill my own cup. And I need to be able to have these tools to help myself when I'm feeling stressed or anxious or whatever the case may be.
You need to be able to do this regardless of if you have a friend in the world.
Yep.
And regardless of if you have a significant other. Mm-hmm. You, that really, like, that actually, like, breaks my heart when I see people get into these feelings of stress and anxiety and, like, whatever is happening in the world, and then they get mad that people don't have the emotional capacity for them or that people aren't there for them. Because, like, I think we've been, like, very nice and, like, hand-holdy a little bit through this whole talk. But also, like, guys, this is something you have to do for yourself.
Yeah.
Because you want to feel better.
Yeah.
If you want to feel better, it's available to you for you. And if you find these strategies based on other people, those people at some point will fail you.
Yeah.
They will. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Doesn't mean they don't love you. It doesn't mean they're not
good for their life. You shouldn't put that on them to, like, be perfect all the time and be there for you all the time.
They got their own shit.
Yeah, that's like, a stressful relationship. Yes. Even, like, a boyfriend-girlfriend, you know, like...
Can be your life partner. Right.
You can be your parent.
You can be, like, the best people for each other, the most committed, the most in love, the most whatever. And at the end of the day, you need to fix you, and you need to have these strategies for yourself so that you can be a better friend, lover, partner, manager, staff, cat, like, whatever you are.
Yeah.
Maybe not a cat.
Yeah. Yeah, and, like, and, you know, if you can fix your shit, if you can bring the awareness, take ownership, and if you can fix your own problems, you are, A, in control, because you don't have to depend on anyone or anything to fix you. Mm-hmm. So that sense of control will take away that kind of panic, because you're never at a loss. Like, you're never out of control of the situation. You're always able to change it. And when you're in charge of who you are and how you feel and how you see the world, like, that freedom is going to take you so many places in every aspect of your life. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Freedom!
Ooh. All right. That's going to be podcast 7. We're going to Kristen and Allie harmonize. Actually, I'm going to sing the melody. Kristen's going to harmonize because I'm tone deaf.
And I'll strum the guitar.
Hey!
And
you can figure it. Any final words, Kristen, for our listeners?
I just think that, take action. Just if you're feeling some type of way, breathe deep. You're going to get through this. Don't allow it to have permanence. And don't allow it to have permanence, like, into the future and on your character.
Yeah.
It's whatever is stressing you out is never as big as it actually, like, as you think it is in your head. And hindsight, things always look sillier and less big, and we can never have hindsight in the moment. But if you just kind of keep trying to remind yourself of that, I think that is just, like, the best thing you can do. And don't be afraid to reach out to a professional if you need help with this kind of thing. There's no shame, and you're not going to lose anything.
Yeah.
By doing it. You're already stressed out.
Right, exactly. They're not going to make it worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think just everyone needs to understand that no matter what you are like, what it feels like, what level your anxiety is at, that nobody is like a permanent victim, and it's not your inherent personality, and that you are, no matter who you are, what you are, whatever the case may be, you have the power to change anything you want to. You're in control of yourself. Yeah.
There it is.
Cool. Thanks, Kristen.
Thanks for having
my
me.
My wifey.
Wifey for lifey.
Yeah. All right, guys. Go take a hot bubble bath or some shit and have some tea.
Hey.
Smoke a blunt. You know.
Yeah.